You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the Weekly Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. This week, Karen and I will cover Unit 23, Session 1, the Sermon on the Mount. So, Karen, do you think we're going to cover that whole sermon?
No way. I mean, we tried.
Well, we give
high points.
Yeah, it's a high point. That's really a passage we could spend easily an entire volume
on.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah.
But we're just doing it in, what, one session?
Yep.
So we're gonna hit the high notes. We're going to get the feel of it.
Yeah.
And then let leaders decide whether they want to camp out in a certain area and stress
that's
something.
True.
And that'd be great. So, all right. First question, as always, what is this week's session about? And don't just tell me the Sermon on the Mount. Give it to me all.
Yes. Okay. This session is about the Sermon on the Mount.
Oh, my goodness.
Just kidding. I just couldn't resist. You gave me a lob there. No, we're going to hear how Jesus taught people about how life in God's kingdom works and in contrast to how this kingdom of the world works.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to kind of summarize. I also like to think of it as discipleship.
Oh, yeah.
It's really how Jesus says, this is what discipleship looks like. This is what the heart of a disciple should look like. This is what behavior, conduct of a disciple should look like. So a really great sermon. But that contrast, as you said, God's way, God's kingdom versus the world's way, the world's kingdoms, is a really important contrast. Okay, so as always, this is the beginning of a new unit, so we want to take a few minutes in this episode and talk about the big picture question and key passage. So, Karen, you want to give some insight into how those were chosen or any words about them?
Yes, and this we love it when it's like an easy choice. So this unit is called Jesus the Teacher. So the big picture question we're using for this unit is, what did Jesus teach when he was on earth? For preschool, our answer is that Jesus taught about God and his kingdom. And then for kids, we add that he taught that all scripture is about him. And then babies and toddlers are focusing on Jesus taught about God. So, yeah, so this just kind of gives kids a big picture of what Jesus taught about. He didn't just, come to teach people how to live a good life. He came to show, who God is, what he's like, and then how God's kingdom is different from the rest of the world. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting exercise. If we as a leader sat down and say, how do we kind of define Jesus's teachings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kingdom is so prevalent when you really think about it. Kingdom, so many of the parables and so forth. So trying to get that big idea to help kids understand that Jesus's teachings are not random, they're not disconnected. They're all connected under this theme of what the kingdom is and how we are part of that kingdom.
True, yes.
Okay, so what about the key passage?
Okay, so then for the key passage, we want to kind of get the Holy Spirit on little ones' radar. So the key passage is John 14:26. For preschool, we have the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Then for kids, a fuller version, I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. And that's John 14:25 and 26. So again, most kids' curriculums probably are not going to get into the Holy Spirit, but we feel like we can't avoid the Holy Spirit. We want to, we're giving kids the gospel, especially in this unit, we're talking about God's kingdom and how different it is from the world. It can just be really crushing to think that you have to white knuckle it through the Christian life. So I think it's so important for kids to know that they have a helper, that the Holy Spirit is here to help us to live that life. And as I was thinking about that, I remember when I was in seminary, I had to do like a little interview with kids and kind of asking them about, being a Christian and what that meant. And I just remember it's kind of like one of those things that I'll never forget, that all the kids said it's really hard. And that just made me so sad. And it is hard, that is true, but we're not left to do it on our own. And so we want kids to grow up knowing that.
Yeah, and so this is an example of a time where we have the Trinity right laid before us. The kids, you have all three persons in the key passage itself. Preschool, you have the Holy Spirit and Jesus, who's the one speaking.
Yeah.
And then babies and toddlers, a little bit more of just the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But either way, we've got the Trinity that we're kind of rubbing shoulders with. And as we know, it's so important. The Trinity is a first-order doctrine that is necessary. It's a doctrine that is very confusing, that we don't have our arms around this doctrine. But we want to make our kids or bring our kids and our preschoolers into an awareness of this and let them grow into it. So to present this in a way that is as easy as possible, recognizing there's no simple way, mm-hmm. and of course, avoid all analogies or anything. Don't try to oversimplify. Let your kids experience the tension that we experience in this to a degree, and it'll be good for them.
Yes, wise words there.
All right, so let's then shift gears to this session itself, Sermon on the Mount. So are there any areas of caution or anything needing extra prep time that you can think of from a preschool context specifically?
Yeah, what you mentioned earlier about just there's a lot there, and a lot of it is very abstract. I really feel like I think that we did a good job of making it as accessible for preschoolers and babies and toddlers as possible. And I just, want to remind everybody, we're trying to lay a foundation for them to grow into some of these truths. So, do the best you can. Like Brian said, focus in on what you feel like is important. If you don't agree with what we thought was important, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Use the tools that you have. And I think the big thing is just to emphasize that idea that God's kingdom is different from that of this world. Yeah.
And this is also, it's a good time for me to mention once again here, this is why we have multiple cycles of our content.
True.
I'm already thinking about, we're going to have two sessions on the Sermon on the Mount planned for our next cycle, the one that begins 2021.
So true.
And we're able to take a little bit different approach to that. We're able to deal with it a little bit more in a different context. This is why, one of the reasons why we have multiple cycles of content. And I'd also want to add this, just a word of warning. As you look at the Sermon on the Mount, again, a lot of it deals with conduct. This mm-hmm. is how you
yeah.
pray. This is how you give. This is how you fast. We cannot divorce that from the gospel.
Yeah.
Don't slip by accident into legalism of just focusing on behavior and giving kids the impression that that behavior wins God's favor.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they just pray the right way, then God will be pleased with them. The underlying context of this entire sermon is a life changed by the gospel.
Yeah.
And what Jesus is doing is he's giving us marks that if the gospel is in you, these are marks that you should see starting to bear out. And that's another thing. Have your kids understand this is a growth. Discipleship is a growth. And so it may not be automatic. Your prayer life may not look like what Jesus is saying. Your giving may not look like what Jesus is saying, but this is where we're growing as the Spirit works in our hearts, as he changes us, molds us, that we are growing in this direction. So that would be a word of caution I would give to all
of
our leaders.
That's a wise word for sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh.
Come on, give me some wisdom.
Yes, wisdom.
Let me turn it back around.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was wondering if you were going to talk about that next thing, but let me move on. Preschool Leader Guide. Okay, so we have an activity there where you can learn about other cultures, and we encourage you to invite a guest. Again, I've said this before, but I'm going to keep saying it because I don't know how many of you are listening to all of these, but it's a great opportunity to expose preschoolers to different cultures, just to give them a fuller picture of the world and, just to help them learn that the gospel is for all people. So I would encourage you to do that activity if you have a guest to invite.
Yeah, and I would jump in on this and say, yeah, that is so important. And we will keep saying this as much as we can, because it's so important to us. One of the things that we believe about the Gospel Project is that, of course, we're talking about the gospel and how God changes different people to all be one people, the church, and how he changes us all to be in his image, but still with diversity, that there's beauty in diversity. While it may not be a gospel first tier issue, it's close to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we continue to lift this up of this opportunity. And most of us live in a vacuum, not intentionally often, but just we do.
Yeah.
And so we fail to stretch ourselves. And this is so important that our kids see this. And I would echo, when you think about diversity here, don't just think about maybe different countries or whatever. You have diversity of cultures within where you live.
Mm, yes.
I mean, there are all different ways that you can kind of turn and think, all right, how can I involve people who would be from a different background, different context? So just think deeply about that. I'd encourage you to as Karen wisely encouraged you, see, there's, I'm calling you wise as well.
Oh, thank you.
I think that this is a great opportunity for us to really spend some time and do something well there.
Yes, all right, I agree. What else? Okay, the Babies and Toddlers Leader Guide. There is an activity that involves a light table, and I just want to own that, you know, probably not every preschool ministry has a light table. So I just want to encourage you, if you have one, great. If you don't, not a big deal. You can do that activity just by putting some like yellow paper under a clear bin, and they'll still get the idea. They'll see the other color come through. So, but if you have a light table, that's awesome. And I think I looked on Amazon, there were some that were pretty inexpensive if that's something you want to invest in, but definitely you don't need to, but be aware.
Sounds good. All right, let's shift gears then. What is something that you are looking forward to God potentially doing through this session, Karen?
Yeah, well, as I was working on the session, I was constantly reminded of this sermon by Tim Keller called The Upside Down Kingdom, and it's based on the Beatitudes in Luke 6. And it was really life-changing for me, I guess you could say. But he talks about how Jesus is introducing a kingdom that's just totally countercultural to the one we live in now. And he says how Jesus came to just bring a reversal of values. So instead of power, God's kingdom values weakness. Instead of comfort, God's kingdom values sacrifice. And instead of recognition, God's kingdom values humility. And I mean, wow, totally different than what we live in. And even just in the world we live in today, it's so media-driven. I just feel like the voices of the world get louder and louder. So I'm excited for kids to learn what God values really early in life, just so we can fight against that and, you know, that God can drive that down deep into their hearts at an early age.
Yeah, that Tim Keller guy, he's pretty wise as well.
He is.
I think he has us both beat pretty easily.
For sure, yeah.
He's going to be a good pastor one day.
Maybe so, yeah. If he can ever get that church off the ground.
He can get that, in that easy environment of New York City. Come on.
Yeah, for sure.
Come on, Tim. Mm-hmm. He and I are on first name basis.
Yeah.
One thing I'm looking forward to is, as we've intimated a few times, there are so many good landing connecting points in this session. So this should be really a session that no matter where you are, man, you should have great opportunities to have meaningful discussion with your kids. However, I would say this is also why we have to know our kids well.
Yeah.
This is why it is not sufficient for us just to take a resource, any resource, and treat it as plug and play and say, I'm just going to read the words that are there. I'm going to do exactly what they tell me to do, because we craft these resources for thousands of churches. And we're trying to provide a resource that gets you started, that is a tool to help you do what God is calling you to do. But you need to know your kids. You need to know what they're struggling with. You need to know what opportunities are before you. And so if you're spending the entire time focusing on giving, for example, and they really need prayer.
Yeah.
That's an important miss, because just knowing your kids, understanding where they are, what opportunities and maybe what they're struggling with is really helpful for you to connect sessions like this to where they are more directly and meaningfully.
Yeah, that's such a good word.
All right, so let's wrap it up there. So thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We hope that you found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. For more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.